thank you for coming into this Shirim on Purim. So the basic thrust of the Shirim is going to be on the Simcha aspects of Purim, meaning like the happy aspects, the partying, the drinking, the dancing, things of that sort. And hopefully we'll go through those things one by one, at least the Suvuda, the actual partying, the food aspect, and also the drinking aspect. We'll get to closer to Purim, so it'll be fresh in people's minds before the actual day itself. But tonight, talking about partying, tonight we're going to deal less with the more pertinent specific issues about the partying and the drinking and dancing. We're going to deal with more of a general overall structure of Purim. What type of day is Purim in its essence? And hopefully that will give us, I guess, a conceptual, theoretical background with which to approach your actual specific issues of the su'udah, the partying, things of that sort. So if people, I forgot to put these psukim on the actual source sheets, but if people could take those to the art school Stone Kumashim and open up to page 1260, I would greatly appreciate it. I never wanted to be a shul rabbi, but like I feel like announcing pages in an art school Stone Kumashim is almost halfway there.
What page?
1260. So this is towards the end of the story. So basically, if you don't remember the story from last year, there's a bad guy named Haman, he tried to kill the Jews, and the Jews won. This is the aftermath of the story. If you look at Perek Tes, Pasuk, Yud Zayin, Yuchas, and Yutes for a second, that's towards the bottom of 1260, it's describing what happened after the Jews won. What did the Jews do? So Pasuk Yuchas. Vayudim, Asher B'Shushan, the Jews living in Shushan, they fought on the 13th of Adar and the 14th of Adar. Vinoach Bakamisha Asarbo, and they rested on the 15th of Adar. Vasoso, Yomisha Vizimka. And what did they do on the 15th of Adar when they rested? They partied. Yomishta Vizimka, a day of feasting and joy. Alkain, therefore, Hayudim Aprazim, Yoshivim Baharya Prazos, the people living in these unwalled cities that only fought on the 13th and rested on the 14th. Osim is Yom Arba Asar Kodesh Adar. They make the 14th day of Kodesh Adar, which for us is Purim. Simcha Mishtav Yom Tov. Mishlach Manos Ish Dereyeho. So there seem to be four aspects, four characteristics of this 14th of Adar. You have Simcha, you have happiness and joy. Mishtav, you have feasting and food and things of that sort. You have Yom Tov, which presumably means like a Yom Tov. Mishloach Manos Ish Dereyehu, and you send food to other people as well. So you send food packages to your friends. Great. So some of these things are specific actions, and they're very easy to define. Meaning Mishteh is a feast. It has to do with eating. Mishloach Manos Ish Dereyehu means you send food packages to your friend. The two things that are a bit more amorphous are Simcha. How are we going to halachically define Simcha? What does it mean to be a day of joy? And Yom Tov. What does it mean that a day is a Yom Tov? So I asked the crowd, what would it mean if you said a certain day is a Yom Tov? What's the first thing that comes to mind? No malacha. An Isser malacha. That you wouldn't be able to do work on Purim, same way you can't do work on Pesach, Shavuot, Sukkot, which are also referred to as Yom Tov. Great. And lo and behold, if you open up your Gemara Megillah, or on the Daf Hei Amabez, which is on the back side of the last page, this is exactly the way the Gemara interprets this pasuk. It's the bracketed part. The Gemara had previously told a story that Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, was found in his orchard planting trees on Purim. Great. A very nice place to be. So the Gemara asks, for Rabbi, how is it permitted for Rebbe to plant a tree on Purim? Fatani Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yosef taught, Simcha u'mishta v'yom tov. We have these three things in the Pasuk. Simcha, mishta v'yom tov. Simcha, what does the word simcha mean? A bit amorphous. Melameid sha'asur b'hesped. You can't eulogize somebody on Purim. Mishta, what does it mean that it's a day of feasting? You can't fast. It's interesting, the Gemara is only learning out the negative. You can't fast. you would think Mishta would be an active obligation to the party. That's something we'll have to get back to. Yom Tov, Melamin Sha'asar Basiyas Malacha. What does the word Yom Tov teach us? Exactly like Yosef said, it teaches you cannot do Malacha on Purim. So the Gemara asked, how was Rebbe permitted to plant a tree at Purim if it's explicit in the Megillah that they declared the 14th of Adar to be a Yom Tov? Great. So what does the Gemara answer? And bells should be running in people's ears now. We don't have this Isser Malacha on Purim. We drive on Purim. We do all these types of things. At least at this stage of the Gemara, the Isser Malacha still exists. So the Gemara responds, Ella, Rebbe Bar Arbeisar Hava. Rebbe lived in a city where they kept Purim on the 14th of Adar, meaning a regular city, an unwalled city. B'chinata, and when did we plant the tree? Maybe a Shushan Purim, B'chamesar. He was trying to get over a hangover, he was trying to do something, whatever it was. So he went out and he planted the tree on the 15th of Adar. But it wasn't actually Purim for him, and that's why it was permitted. But the Gemara is keeping its initial assumption that there really is an Isser Malacha on Purim, based on the word Yom Tov. So the Gemara challenges that. I, my Rebbe, the Tveria Hava. Rebbe lived in Tveria, which Tveria vokefas choma mimos Yeshua ben Nun Havai. And Tveria is a city that was walled from the days of Yeshua ben Nun, and therefore Purim is kept on the 15th, and not on the 14th. So how could you say the Rebbe planted the tree in Shushan Purim? Shushan Purim really was Purim for him. I don't know if people have been here have been to Tveria recently, but they did an archaeological dig, and they found like a big house in Tveria, which they think might have been Rebbe's, because the Gemara says he was actually fabulously wealthy. He was extremely rich, and he had close ties with the Roman aristocracy. So in the Jewish part of town, they found this huge house. So around from the time period of Rebbe. So they think maybe it was Rebbe's, which is pretty cool. And so the Gemara switches it around. Now the Rebbe Bar Chamesar Hava, you're right, Rebbe lived in Tveria, and therefore he kept Purim on the 15th. With Tveria, Chinata Bar Chamesar Hava, just flip it around. Rebbe kept Purim on the 15th. When he planted the tree, it was on the 14th. So whatever basically we're saying is that there is an Isser Malacha on Purim. We can't get around that fact. Rebbe planted a tree. Well, so we'll play around with our facts. We'll play around with our dates to make sure that Rebbe didn't plant that tree when he kept Purim. Because the Megillah refers to Purim as a Yom Tov. Great. And if we stopped over there, it would really seem like Purim is a regular Yom Tov with a real Isser Malacha. So let's go back to the Megillah for a second. Now we're on page 1261, on the right-hand column. So great. So that's what happened the first couple of years. They kept Purim as a Yom Mishta, Simcha, Yom Tov, and Mishloach Manos. Then it says that Mordechai, Pasachaf, Yichtov Mordechai is at the Ramayila. Mordechai wrote down the Megillah, basically. He sent letters to all the Jews in the empire to do what? The Kayim Alayim, Lios Usim, Isyom Arba Asar Lakodesh Adar, Isyom Kamisha Asar Bo, Bakol Shana Bashana. He sent letters to all the Jews to continuously keep these 2 days as a Yom Tov. What to do? Kayamim Asher Nachu Behem Ayodim Ayubihem, to keep them like the Jews initially kept them when they rested from their enemies. To keep a holiday in this month, here's the key line. Na'asos osam, they keep them as what? Yimei mishta v'simcha, a day of feasting and joy. Mishloach manos ish l'reyeil, sending gifts to friends. Matanos levyonim, and also charity, gifts to the poor. Great. So here we also have four characteristics of the day. So what are these four characteristics? Three of them are the same. You have Mishta, number one, Simcha, number two. It's interesting that earlier it was reversed. In the initial Purim, it was Simcha, then Mishta, and now we have Mishta, then Simcha. Okay, great. That's just an interesting point. The third thing stays the same, Mishloach Manos Ish L'Reyeil. That's what we do nowadays. Sorry, the third thing was Yom Tov. Great. So that's lacking, right? That's the thing that's missing in this in this description. What do we have instead of Yom Tov? Mishloach Manos is what's also in the first one. What's in the second description is not in the first description. Matanos of Yonim, exactly. And our Purim is exactly modeled after this Pasuk. We have Mishta Simcha. We party. We have a Su'udha. It's a day of Simcha. We'll see exactly how that halachically manifests itself. We have Mishloach Manos. And we have Matanos of Yonim. And the fact that we actually read the Megillah is learned out from another Pasuk. It says, V'yama Me'ila Nizkarim. These days should be mentioned. We derive Nizkarim means that the Megillah should be read. In terms of the actions that we do over Purim, it's all based on this pasuk. But Yom Tov mysteriously disappeared. So the first opinion in the Gemara doesn't seem to be so fazed by that. Yom Tov was just left out, whatever it was. But really, the Yom Tov aspect still stayed. So let's skip down to the second opinion in the Gemara. Again, the Gemara is trying to figure out how Rebbe was able to plant a tree on Purim. So skip down to around the, where you see the little aleph in parentheses in the middle of the line. I feel a theme of Yomei. So one line up from that, it says, Rabba Bri de Rava Amar. Another Amar said, I feel a theme of Yomei. Even you can even say Rebbe planted the tree on that day, which was Purim for him. So how is the mutter for him to plant a tree on Purim? If Purim is a Yom Tov. Hesped v'tanas kabilu olayu. They accepted upon themselves to not fast and not eulogize, meaning the simcha, the partying aspect of Purim, they accepted upon themselves. Melacha lo kabilu olayu. When they sent out that second, when Mordecai sent out the letters to all the Jews, they should keep Purim as a Yom Tov, they only accepted upon themselves half the letter. They accepted upon themselves the Mishta, the Simcha, Mishloach Manos, but they didn't accept upon themselves the Yom Tov aspect. Once another day with the Nisar Malacha. Sorry. They probably have more fundamental reasons why they didn't accept it upon themselves.
But then why would the Gemara argue that he shouldn't have done that?
So it's exactly what the Gemara is saying now. That the second opinion of the Gemara is that no, Rebbe had every right to plant that tree on Purim because there's really no Nisar Malacha. As we see from the fact that Yom Tov was left out in the final description of the holiday.
No, but clearly they thought there was an Isser Malacha, or else they wouldn't have said Rebbe couldn't have done that.
Right. The first stage, the earlier Amorayim, the first stage of the Gemara thought there was an Isser Malacha, based on the word Yom Tov. And then this Amora, Rabba Breda Rafuna, whoever this is.
No, Rabba, did they have an Isser Malacha on themselves? Or else why would they have argued that?
So we'll see that what they did was actually confusing. We'll get there in a second. You're just asking historically, if they had an Isser Malacha, so they had it. If they didn't have it, they didn't have it. They said, I'm an Amorah, had to do something. So, we'll get there in a second. Malacha lo kabilo olayo. They didn't accept an Isser Malacha upon themselves. How did they know this? From the words of the actual Megillah. The Mikar Ksiv Simcha Mishchev Yom Tov. Initially, it said, it mentions the word Yom Tov. It only mentions Mishta V'Simcha, Yom Tov is not there. And that's why Rebbe was able to plant that tree on Purim. Great. The question still stands. What were they doing in the time period of the Amorayim? So we're not going to read inside. If you read the continuation of the Gemara, it sounds like there was a minhag to not do Malacha. Sounds like they weren't doing Malacha on Purim. But it was unclear to the Amorim themselves if they weren't doing Malacha because of a real din, like Yom Tov, like Pesach, Shavuot, Sukkot, you can't do Malacha, or really, Isser Malacha is not a fundamental part of Purim. It's just a minhag. They didn't accept the Isser Malacha upon themselves. Some later generation, a minhag developed that if they're going to shul anyway, they're reading the Megillah, they're having a Suda Yom Tov for part of the day, they may as well also have an Isser Malacha, but only b'toras minhag, not as a real din. And that's exactly what we're going to see in the Rambam. Great. So the Rambam is the first source on the first page. The Shulchan Aruch basically summarizes everything in the Rambam. So let's just skip to the Shulchan Aruch for a second. The second source. The Shulchan Aruch says, this is what's kept halacha l'maisa. Purim matzor b'asiyas malacha. Purim, you're really, really allowed to do malacha, you're allowed to drive around and do everything you want. V'makam shenagu shlolasos inosin. But yeah, sorry.
Is doing like giving gifts and malacha exclusive from each other? Is it A or B, or could it be both?
I'm sorry?
If you have a talk, can you not give gifts to poor people then? Because there's matzah, and there's money, there's caring, there's...
So I was actually wondering that, if the reason why they took away the malacha was to be able to include matana sevyonim.
So it'd be why it's A or B. You chose one or the other.
It might be A or B, but then I was thinking that maybe you don't have to give money, you could give food. I'm sorry?
You also give exchanges and gifts on Yom Kippur.
We generally speaking assume that Sarach Mitzvah, it's okay. It's a machlokas aposkim. Like, I don't know if you're in your shul by bar bat mitzvah, so if they give the bar bat mitzvah boy or girl a sefer. I don't know, in my shul by somebody's bar bat mitzvah, they called them up to the vima whatever after davening and they gave him a tanach. The rabbi always made some joke about nobody ever learning it, but I just said. But the rabbi of my shul didn't want to give it as a real matana. So he told the person that I'm giving it to you now, but you're only halachically going to be kona it. You're only actually going to acquire it after Shabbos. So he was being machmer. But meikar din, we generally speaking assume that a kinyan shal mitzvah is okay on a yom tov.
If you assume that they weren't going to read it, then it's not really a mitzvah.
That's true. So maybe that's why he's saying that. Thank you. So I was thinking the same thing, and maybe that's why they didn't do the Yom Tov, but then they probably could have given stock on a different way. Makam Shinabu Shalavasa is Enosin. Great, but some places they have a minute to not do Malacha, and they shouldn't do Malacha. So in the Nagu B'chomakom Shalavasos. Nowadays, there's a minute to not do Malacha on Purim. We're going to see exactly what's defined under this as Malacha under this minute. Be'osa. Somebody who does malacha, ainu roa simin bracha, osa malacha of the olam. It's not going to be successful. The Gemara tells a story that somebody planted flax on Purim, in a place where they had a minhag to not plant. Rav came by and cursed them, and the flax didn't grow. That's the source of this story. Okay, so in a second we'll see the exceptions to this rule. But the way it stands in Shulchan Aruch is that there really is no Isser Malacha in Purim, but there's a minhag to not do certain malachos, which obviously makes it much less severe. So in terms of trying to define the essence of Purim, how much is Purim like a Yom Tov? We say a Chag Purim. Is it really a Chag or is it not? So it seems like it should be dependent on these two opinions in the Gemara. The more you think that the word Yom Tov is part of the character, part of the essence of Purim, so then Purim is like every other Yom Tov. So it should have, you would think it should have all the dinim of a regular Yom Tov, together with the Seuda, with the drinking a bit of wine, things of that sort. And all of those dinim, the food and drink, should be patterned after the regular dinim that we have for food and drink on Yom Tov. It's like a regular Yom Tov. Maybe you have to tweak it a bit, but fundamentally speaking, it's like a regular Yom Tov. The other approach, the other opinion in the Gemara says no. It says at the end of the day, it was not accepted as a Yom Tov. And therefore, in terms of the character of the day, in terms of the dinim of the day, there's really no reason to look at a regular Yom Tovim as a model. Don't look at what you're doing on Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkos as a model of what to do in Purim. Because Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkos are really Yom Tovim. Purim is not. Purim is its own separate day. Doesn't really have an Isser Malacha, it's not really defined as a Yom Tov. Yeah, I'm sorry.
When was it cut off to make a Yom Tov in terms of like history? Because some Jews never had Purim, I assume. So are you allowed to make a Chag just out of thin air?
So that's an excellent question. The Gemara actually says that they deliberated whether or not it was mutter for them to create Purim.
So it might be a Talmud issue. That's
so the Gemara. The Gemara says they deliberated, but at the end of the day, they concluded that they had the halachic ability to make the Yom Tov. The assumption is that all Jews living in the world at the time were under the Persian Empire, and therefore this really affected all Jews throughout the world, and they therefore had the ability. Basically, it was a type of a situation where all the Jews in the world had a threat to be actually be killed, and all the Jews in the world were saved simultaneously. And when that happens, you have the ability to create a Yom Tov. And if 99.9% of Jews were in a type of threat, and the Sanhedrin and Gadol established Yom Tov, so then it would probably be authoritative on all Jews. That's part of the question about Yom Ha'atzmaut. Like, if you want to establish Yom Ha'atzmaut as a day and make a Shachianu and do all these halachic things, so who says we have the ability to do that? Who says it's effective enough Jews? Who says we have enough of our best and nowadays to create a new holiday? But in the Gemaras, people quote the same Gemaras that were relevant in the time period of Purim. Great. So it sounds like, from our perspective, Purim doesn't have an Isser Malacha. It's not defined as a Yom Tov, and therefore, you would think that the dinim of the Seuda shouldn't really exist. It shouldn't really be a party, whatever it is. It should be radically different than a regular Yom Tov. Just one thing to keep in mind, to make things a bit more complicated, is this minhag that we have. This minhag to not do malacha in part. So on the one hand, you could just say it's a minhag. Whatever, people were in shul today, so decided that they may as well not do malacha, and that's how things started. Same way other minhagim start from the grassroots up. But the Oracle Skayim, who was a province from Asher Milunil, like 14th century province of Rishon, if I recall correctly, who becomes very important for the Sugya because he gets quoted by the Beis Yosef. And the Beis Yosef Karo thinks of this as being normative. So he describes the history of what happened in a slightly different way, in a somewhat unique way, and which leaves us the opening to, once again, rethink of Purim as a Yom Tov, even though we don't have real Isser Malacha nowadays. So let's read it inside. Orkos Chaim, Orkos Megillah, Simon Kav Zayin. I apologize for the typos. He says, "Ve'afal yishamru Yom Tov lo kiblu alayu." Even though they said they're not going to accept the Yom Tov upon themselves, meaning the Jews, the years immediately after the Purim story, did not accept an Isser Malacha upon themselves. Klomar asiyas malacha. Why didn't they do this? Nishahi rubam aniyim v'nei hagalos. Vayis agzira she'in rov atzibor yicholam na'amud ba. It's not that, fundamentally speaking, they didn't think that Purim was worthy of an Isser Malacha. The Purim shouldn't be a Yom Tov. Really, everybody agreed. Purim should be a real Yom Tov. Purim should have a real Isser Malacha. But why didn't they accept the Isser Malacha? For technical reasons. They were poor. They're in exile. They didn't have their own land. They didn't have their own economy. They probably had menial, low-paying jobs, and they couldn't have another day, just financially speaking, of Isser Malacha. And it was Gzira Shein Ruf Hatzibur Golam Unba. People just couldn't stand not working another day. They wouldn't have been able to subsist. And that's why there was no Isser Malacha for Bar. But Nikomakom, Akar Kein Skadil Kaminog. But afterwards, when people came back to Eretz Israel, they became a bit more wealthy, they were able to have another day in the calendar where they wouldn't work. So they knew they missed their chance to actually establish it as a real Yom Tov. But that's why this minhag started. This minhag didn't just start because people were in shul all day, and therefore they just didn't do malacha. So for the course of generations, people just stopped doing malacha for not such fundamental reasons. According to the Oracle Chaim, really everybody always wanted there to be an Isser Malacha. They just couldn't do it financially for the first couple of generations, but afterwards, when they had the financial wherewithal on their own, just to show that they thought really Purim should be a Yom Tov, they started this minhag to have an Isser Malacha. And you can see that he takes this Isser Malacha, he takes this minhag very seriously. Minadim kol ha'osam malacha before him. Granted, it's only a minhag, but if somebody violates his minhag, you put him in Nidor, you put him in Chayrim, excommunicate him. mean, this minhag is a really strong minhag. Ve'in nezalzel ala minhag. You shouldn't degrade this minhag. Kevin shepashad yisuro akal Yisrael. Since all Jews accepted this minhag upon themselves to not do malacha. The last line we'll leave off for. We'll leave off for, we'll come back to it again. But according to Rav Chaim, really, people wanted it to be a Yom Tov. They just couldn't do it financially, and therefore they re-accepted it upon themselves as on the minhag level once they were able to. So you would think that maybe, even though technically speaking, the word Yom Tov isn't in the final description of Purim, it still might have more Yom Tov aspects, more Yom Tov characteristics, because that's really what everybody wanted Purim to be originally. You know,
so we're talking about the period from Mordechai until like the time of Revi, or just within the time of Mordechai, like the Jews were too poor?
Right. It's,
or, like, when are we talking about?
Right, it's unclear exactly when this minhag started, but it's what seems fairly clear is that what you said is correct. Somewhere between the time period of Mordechai and the time period of Revi. Which gives you a good 500 years.
Like, was it Mordechai's idea to make it a Yom Tov? Like, we're assuming that Mordechai wanted it to be a Yom Tov.
Yeah. It's in the letters he sent out, the word Yom Tov is included.
Right.
It's fixed. Great. So let's move on to another issue. So another key characteristic of Yom Tov is a real chiyuv simcha. But the pasuk says, "V'samachta v'chagecha." Whenever you have a chag, there's always a chiyuv simcha. And one of the key ways this chiyuv simcha manifests itself is in terms of avelos. If somebody's sitting Shabbat, chas v'shalom, although they know, if somebody has a relative who passes away immediately prior to Yom Tov, and Shiva hits Pesach, or Shiva hits Shavuos, so Shiva gets stopped. The Shiva gets cut off early, on the third day, fourth day, fifth day, whatever it is, and they get up from the Shiva, and they keep Yom Tov as a regular Yom Tov. Why? The Gemara says, because Avelos is very sad. Chagim have chiyuv simcha. Simcha and Avelos don't go together. And therefore, the simcha of the Yom Tov stops the sadness of the Avelos. Great. So what about Purim? Does Purim have the same level of chiyuv simcha as a regular Yom Tov, as a regular Chag? Meaning, in other words, if somebody Shiva coincides with Purim, Do they continue sitting Shabbat? Do they continue being Avila? Or no? Does Purim stop does the Simcha of Purim stop the Avilos in his tracks? So this would be another good test case to see whether or not the Chi of Simcha of Purim is a real Chi of Simcha, to see how much of a regular Yom Tov Purim is. So let's see the Rambam inside. This is a part two, Avilos with Purim. The Rambam says, the first part is a bit less relevant for us, but we'll read through it. When you have the Sudas Havra, the first meal, after the family gets back from the cemetery, in times of Chazal, they used to overturn all of the beds in the house of the Avel. And when this happens on Yom Tov, you don't overturn the beds. You also don't have say Birkas Avelim. Again, in times of Chazal, there was a special bracha Avelim would make when they came back from the cemetery. Nowadays, we don't make this bracha, but that bracha does not get said on Yom Tov. Great, but certain aspects do apply. Nichum Avelim does apply. We just skip down to the second to last line. V'chein. You don't eulogize on Hanukkah and Purim. That's what we saw in the Gemara. Hanukkah, Purim, Rosh Chodesh don't have hesped, but Avilos is still kept. And before Hanukkah and after Hanukkah, you're also allowed to be masped, you ought to eulogize. But the Rambam says, that granted, it uses the word simcha in the Megillah to describe Purim. Don't take it so seriously. It's not a real chi of simcha. It's not on par with this chi of simcha of a samachta b'chagaka of a regular Yom Tov. And therefore, Purim is together with Chanukah and Rosh Chodesh, which are important days in the calendar, but not real Yom Tovim. And therefore, Avilos is kept on Purim. If you look in the Rush says exactly the opposite. It says, Regalim, Mafsikin, Vein and Oven. If Avilos hits a regal, hits a Yom Tov, so it stops it in its tracks. Mafsikin, Vein and Oven. My time, well, why does a Yom Tov stop Avilos in its tracks? The Simcha Ksidru, because it uses the word Simcha, the Samapta Nechanecha, and the Simcha of a Yom Tov is Dolka, it pushes away the status of the Avilos. And here is the key line for us. Purim Nami, Simcha Ksidve. Not only does a Yom Tov have Simcha, but Purim also has Simcha. Va'asalosa, Yimei Mishta, V'simcha. V'afka Purim, Avachanaka, L'nifsaka. Chanakah doesn't have any Simcha. But the word Simcha is used both in the context of Yom Tov and in the context of Purim. And therefore, the same way the Simcha of Yom Tov stops Avilos in its tracks, so too the Simcha of Purim also stops Avilos. So you see that Rosh is equating the Simcha of Purim with the Simcha of a regular Yom Tov. Sorry? Okay. So here we have the Rambam saying that even though we use the word Simcha of Purim, it's not so serious. Sounds like when they took away the Yom Tov, they also took away some of the other aspects. Well, according to the Rosh, Simcha is really there. It sounds like I'm really trying, even though Yom Tov was taken away to a degree, we're still equating it with Yom Tovim as much as we can. Isser Malacha is not there, but for other things, it's on par with the regular Yom Tov. And just in terms of Halacha L'maisa, it's a machlokas between Ashkenazim and Sephardim, as you might well imagine, but it's a machlokas between the Rambam and the Rosh. Shulchan Aruch says, Kol divrei avilos noagim chanuk l'parim. You have to keep avilos and parim. And the Ramah says, first he has a couple of comments within the Shita of the Rambam, and you skip down to the second line of the Ramah, after the parentheses, v'yish omrim, she'in avilos noag b'parim. The Ramah says, avilos is not kept on parim. Lob gida'ot of lob etesvah, the 14th or the 15th, v'chei noagin. I feel Avilos from Rishon Nidchav Nia Parim, even the first name of Avilos, which is more stringent, is pushed aside because of Parim. Aval, from Shvitzan Anoig, the Ramah comes out of the compromise. Private things that are kept in one's house do exist on Parim, but public manifestations of Avilos do not exist on Parim. Okay, great.
So it counts as towards the seventh, but not for a bit. It counts to, like, Avilos.
Right, so the Ramah doesn't pass in straight like the Rosh. It's a compromise shita. The Rosh thinks that I'm seeking to be in a moment that it just stops the Avilos in its tracks. According to the Ramah, it's counted as a day. Some aspects of Avilos are kept, meaning the Varm Shabbat Sana. The stuff that's kept on Shabbos also is kept on Purim. But public manifestations of Avilos are pushed aside because of this info.
When you say it stopped, that means that's the end. Can you stop Shiva right away? They get up and...
According to the Rosh, that's what you do. According to the Ramah, that's not... According to the Ramah, you continue afterwards. Right?
But you wouldn't...
You would, it's like Shabbos, basically. It's counted as a day, even though you're not actually sitting Shiva formally.
Yes. Can I just... I don't know if it's beyond this year, but practically, how does that work? Because Mishta is sort of public, but like, do Avelim have a Suda on Purim? Obviously go out and here's Megillah, that's a public thing, okay. But private things like
Mishnah. Actually, I forgot. I'm not sure.
Yeah. And they can do a group. You can do the Shlosh, you can't do a group. Oh, can I please?
My friend had this. And she, like, her rabbi told her not to, like, go to a big meal just to do something small with her family.
Gotcha. So I guess it's public, it's public, private.
But, like, yeah, it wasn't during the Shlosh, it was just during the year.
Oh, it was during the year. It wasn't during the Shiva. Huh. So it could be during the Shiva is more stringent. I forgot. I actually took a Bechina in Elchus Avilos, which is part of that. But I forgot. Okay, great. So then there might be another test case to see how real the Simcha is in Purim, which might, again, be reflective of how real of a Yom Tov of Purim is. Just one other test case might be getting married. On Purim. The Gemara in Boi Katan says, not on the source sheets, that you shouldn't get married on a regular Yom Tov. Pesach Shavuot Sukkot, it's not time for a wedding. Why? Because the one reason in the Gemara says v'samachta b'chagecha, you should be happy on Yom Tov. The drush is v'samachta b'chagecha v'lo b'ishtaka. In ma'arvin simcha v'simcha. You shouldn't mix together different types of simcha. So if you have simchas Yom Tov, that should be kept distilled, should be kept pure, shouldn't get mixed with other forms of simcha, such as a wedding. The question is, what about getting married on Purim? The word simcha is used in the Megillah to describe Purim, but again, it's the same type of simcha that exists on Yom Tov. So somebody asked the Rashi this question. It says, Od Sha'alta, on the last page, Imutzer Lisa Isha B'Purim, is a mutzer to marry somebody on Purim. Kevin the Kaimala on Ein Nosin Isha B'Moed, Shem De'in Ma'arvin Simcha B'Simcha. Right? You shouldn't get married on Yom Tov, because you shouldn't mix together various types of simcha. The person who asked the question said, this reason, the in the arvin simcha b'simcha, seems to apply to Purim as well. The simcha b'simcha hi, the simcha u'mishta kabila b'alayu, because Purim has simcha, as we see in the Megillah. So what's the Rashi's answer? Mistar v'shu matar, it's fine, you could get married in Purim. The simachta b'chagecha k'siv, b'chagecha v'u'mishtaka, haba b'parim matar. Because the drasha is v'samachta b'chagecha, on your Yom Tov, when you're v'simcha, you shouldn't get married. Havo b'parim matar. What about the questioner's point? That the word simcha is used by Purim as well. So apparently, the Rashba thinks, the word simcha by Purim, the word simcha by Yom Tov, by Chagim, is a different type of simcha. You have to try to define it a bit better in the coming weeks. But again, the less you think of Purim as a regular Yom Tov, the more you think of it as a unique type of day, then even though the word Simcha is used in both contexts, the word Simcha and Purim is going to mean something else. And therefore, the regular dinim of Simcha Yom Tov are not going to apply. The Shulchan Aruch Paskins, it's Mutter, in case people remember, Mutter Lisa Isha B'Purim, it's the next verse. The Mishnah Berurah says that some Achronim are Machmer. Some Achronim say it's better not to, for various reasons. The reason why this is relevant is, and I assume it's not so relevant for people here, or for most of us, but in Europe, apparently, from what I understand, there are very many people got married on Friday afternoon. And the reason was because they were poor, and they couldn't afford to have a separate su'udas nisu'in, have a separate wedding party. So they combined the wedding party with a Friday night meal. And that way they saved money. So people were thinking about doing the same thing at Purim. You're having a suda anyway. It's going to be a lavish suda. You as well get married in the morning and combine your Purim suda with your wedding meal. That's why I assume that's one of the reasons why people don't deal with it so much, because that was actually a relevant issue in Europe back in the good old days.
I went to a wedding last year
on Purim. That's fascinating.
You potentially would spend a lot more money on alcohol,
but potentially.
And some people, like regular, anyways.
Like, okay, they weren't. I wouldn't say they're like the firmest terms.
No, it's fine.
but they're Orthodox, and yeah.
So that's explicit Shulchan Aruch.
They also got a fast day out of the. They killed two birds with us.
That's true. Fast. Great. So just. Just to sum things up, what's interesting about it, and this is something we're going to have to explore further in the coming weeks, that if we take the approach that Simcha of Purim is different than the Simcha of a regular Yom Tov, so we're going to have to try to figure out what way is different. Is there more Simcha, less Simcha, or the Simcha is just different? It's just something which you can't quantify, more or less, which is a different quality, a different nature, a different source. We're going to have to try to define that further. And just to get our feedback a bit, one indication that the Simcha of Purim might be less in some ways, meaning Mutar Lisa Isha B'Purim is not considered Eruv Simcha B'Simcha, and Simcha's Purim may not stop Avelos in his tracks, but in another sense, it might be more all-pervasive. We're not to try to define that, but just as an indication that might be true, let's go back to the Gemara for a second. This is the Gemara after it establishes the fact that there is a minhag to not do malacha in Purim. So the the Gemara says. Let's start from 1, 2, 3, 4, the fifth to last skinny line, towards the middle. The Gemara is trying to figure out if there really was a minhag to not do malach on Purim. Once again, why in the world was Rebbe planting that tree? Granted, there's no Isser Malacha. Granted, there is no Yom Tov, but there's a minhag. So why wasn't Rebbe following this minhag? So what does the Gemara say? V'yivai seima. The olam nahog. Really, they had this minhag. Rebbe had this minhag to not do malach on Purim. So Rebbe wouldn't stop and drive around. But for Rebbe, Netiyah shel Simcha Nata. Rebbe was planting a happy tree. So what's a happy tree? So it was suggested previously. Sorry? But the Gemara says a happy tree is a. Look at the last words before the brackets. Avarki shamalachim. Avarki shamalachim is an orchard, a pleasure orchard of a kin. Meaning something that sole purpose is there to bring joy to the world. Another example the Gemara says is if you're building a beis chasnas, if you're building a wedding hall, if you're building a chuppah for a child, one of your children, so that's also considered a malacha shel simcha. So even though there is a minhag to not do malacha in Purim, apparently this minhag is not all-inclusive. Not everything that's defined as a malacha on Shabbos or Yom Tov fall under the rubrics of this minhag. And the more we think of this minhag as being reflective about the nature of the day, so something very interesting emerges. Let's follow the Oracle Sky in for a second. Initially, it was supposed to be a regular Yom Tov. But they couldn't do it financially. So they didn't accept the Isser Malacha part. And later on, they accepted a minhag upon themselves. So they accepted all malachos, except for things that relate to Simcha. So why would they do that? Why would this minhag, which is supposed to go back to the real Isser Malacha, the real Yom Tov Purim, not include happy things? On Shabbos, Yom Tov, we can't plant happy trees. Purim, you could, even though there's a minhag to not do malacha. So you look at Rashi, it's probably a bit hard to find. I should have bracketed it, but Rashi on the side. Yeah, Netiya Shosimka. It's the last word of the line, is Netiya. I'm sorry, I apologize if it's hard to find. But Netiya Shosimka, Rashi says, the Kivan de Purim Yom Simcha Hu. Because Purim is a day of joy, it's mutter to plant a happy tree. Meaning, even though the joy of Purim may not be as strong halachically in terms of avilos, in terms of getting married, things of that sort, there's a certain all-pervasiveness to the simcha of Purim. It's a yom shel simcha. And therefore, things that our binyan and tiyash of simcha, even though they're malakos, since they're so in line with the nature of the day, they're going to be better. Meaning, even if we think Purim is more like a... sorry. Meaning, even with this minhag, to not do malakha on Purim, which again might be a throwback to some type of real Yom Tov status, but it seems like, in the end of the day, Purim is going to have a unique definition. It's either it's not a Yom Tov at all, and it's just a Yom Tov Simcha, or it's a Yom Tov, but a different type of Yom Tov. It's a Yom Tov Shel Simcha. And therefore, malachos that have to do with Simcha are not going to be included in the Isser. And just to show how Purim might be a Yom Tov, but a unique type of Yom Tov, we just see this last verse. It's a Medrash from Mishlei. It says, this is a Shem Tov Shekansa. This is a Shem Tov of Purim. Every Yom Tov, again, it's using the word Moed, using the word Yom Tov, every Yom Tov is going to be Batel Lasadatho after Mashiach comes. Purim is going to remain. So again, we're defining Purim as one of the Moedim, but we're creating over its own separate category for it. It's a Moed, but it's unique in the sense that it's going to remain. So basically, just to sort of summarize what we've done, is that we saw. We more or less have three conceptual models, though some of the nafkaminas may not be so clear. One model is to really try to make Purim into a regular Yom Tov. I, there's no Isser Malacha. They wanted an Isser Malacha, they just couldn't do it. But the other models say, no, it's not a Yom Tov at all. It's a separate day, Yom Shel Simcha. It's its own separate, unique day. Therefore, you shouldn't try to look to Yom Tovim as models for the Dinam of Purim. And somewhere in between, you have something more amorphous, but something trying to be closer to the truth, that it has an Isser Malacha, there is a Min of the Natu Malacha, so it has some characteristics of Yom Tov, but it's a unique Yom Tov. It's a Yom Tov which is defined by Simcha, and therefore the Malachos, or Shal Simcha, are going to be Mutter. It's going to be a unique type of mode. We're going to see in future weeks how that idea manifests itself. So thank you.